Hello, and welcome to the Game Slate Podcast, episode 155. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And this week, the Steam sale continues.
It has been horrible for many budgets nationwide, possibly worldwide.
I just have told myself I can't buy anything, and so I look at it and just kind of cry.
Yeah, it wasn't fun when my brother told me, Torchlight 2's on sale for $5. Wait, don't tell me these things!
So today, KOTOR 2 is on sale for like $3.50.
I went with a while back, the entire LucasArts catalog was for sale for $50, so I just bought it all at once then.
Yeah, because that includes all like the Monkey Island and everything too.
No, it was just the Star Wars games that they were doing at the time.
Oh, okay.
So
not all the point and click adventures.
No. But I have basically everything from like Dark Forces forward.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah, and then I think it's kind of evil that they've added, you know, their trading card thing into this.
I haven't looked at that at all. It's not an incentive for me. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I'm just going to sell the ones I've got because it's like, I'm not going to get a badge. I'm just going to sell them. I don't know. I mean, it's just like collecting things for the sake of collecting things, though. It doesn't actually do anything.
Yeah, but it is their, they know their target market because a lot of people will do that.
Yeah, the people that play TF2.
Hats!
I'm going to be a doctor spy.
The hats don't make a lot of sense. And actually, wouldn't the hats counteract the spy thing? Or when you turn into a spy, when you are the spy and you turn into somebody else, do you also wear their hats while you're spied as them?
Oh, yeah, because you spy as... You
spy as another player.
Player, yeah. It's not... Because in TF Fortress Classic, you just... when you're a spy, you just disguise yourself as a class, right?
Right. Now you actually disguise yourself as a player.
Yeah. Which is, you know, always leads to the funny, you know, thing where you're like, that's the guy I'm disguised as.
It's like, hey, that's me.
Stealth.
So let's see, what else? You know, you think we'd have more to talk about after not recording last week and going to the Renaissance Fair instead?
Well, I've been playing games, but I keep talking about them in my weekly article, The Professional Gamer. So.
Well, you could bring them up here as well.
I can. I am playing through the original Final Fantasy. I've got... I guess, is that about halfway through now, probably, where I am? Where I've gotten to the advanced classes?
Yeah. I could say halfway.
Yeah.
Crazy Nintendo Power Guide is halfway, because you're in Chapter 4! You're on Chapter 5! I'm glad I have that thing.
Oh, there's the Sony monster. I was like, what am I supposed to be doing? And it's like, now I have the airship, so it's like, it's not like there's a, where can I get to now? It's,
where
are things about the right level for me to fight against them?
That's always the thing I loved about Final Fantasy, especially like 4 and 6. Once you get the airship, it's like, I can go anywhere in the entire world now and just explore. And I love doing that, so I was always happy about that.
Yeah, it's been fun. For having next to no plot, it is an enjoyable game. I mean, the plot is basically, go save the world, because...
You're foretold to save the world!
Are you the Light Warriors?
Maybe...
I think that's the most hilarious thing. It's like, oh, you guys must be the Light Warriors.
Sure.
I just feel like, you know, part of it is from reading 8-Bit Theater a long time ago. And so I'm just like, these misfits.
The slightly warm orbs of prophecy. Yeah. I will admit, that was kind of, 8-Bit Theater was actually rather entertaining.
In the beginning, I think it jumped the shark after a year or so.
So the Queen just took massive damage from Calcifer.
So I've been doing that. I did, like... that little bit of playing Fable 3, but that, you know, was like an hour, and I don't like monopolizing the TV, you know, I feel weird. I know. I know that you're not even, like, wanting to use it, but nonetheless.
Well, the other thing is our TV's starting to flicker slightly.
You're like, oh, that means the bulb's gonna die. The bulbs cost as much as the television.
Well, keep an eye on Woot.com. You might find an entirely new TV cheaper than you could buy the bulb. Heck, today being Sunday, is a 50-inch LCD for $550 with built-in Wi-Fi.
Sorry, the gestures and faces don't work well on radio. But oh my god, that's ridiculous! Is this even like a name brand, or is that like Sonky or something?
What was that one that starts with the V? Is it Vizio? Cell phone.
Yeah, there is one. I cannot think of it now.
I'm just gonna record this podcast with the cat.
Yeah, because he is being shoulder buddy today.
Yeah. While I'm looking this up, the thing that I've been doing this week was... What was I doing this week?
Vimeo. No,
Vizio.
No,
it is Vizio. V-I-Z-I-O.
Vimeo is a YouTube rival.
Oh. It's, let's see if there's even any more left. Because it was $440 refurbished for a 50-inch 1080p LCD. Yeah, and they actually did sell out. Gee, surprise, surprise, on a deal that good, it sold out. But yeah, keep an eye on Woot.com because they'll occasionally have a ridiculously good price for something.
Well, you said I follow them on Twitter, and I started following them on Twitter back when Twitter wasn't a huge thing, and now it's my tweet stream is just flooded with...
Twitters.
Well, with... Especially with...
Tweets.
Well, Nami's and Angie's.
That's why you create tweet lists.
Yeah, I suppose I should do that.
Anywho, I've been playing Scribblenauts Unlimited.
That's the computer-based one, right?
Yes. Actually, it's also on Android, I think. For those of you who have never played a Scribblenauts game, basically you have a magic notebook, and when you write stuff in it, that stuff appears. And you solve puzzles by getting stuff to appear.
Yeah. I mean, the first one was fun, but it felt limited, like they didn't have a very big library of things that existed that you could make.
It was the first one. It was a new idea.
And I think they did not predict how many weird things people would try and use.
So in Scribblenauts Unlimited, you can add adjectives to stuff. So you could create, a very big red cucumber. Random stuff. Or they also have, you can edit objects. And with this, Steam Workshop, you can actually download stuff other people have created. So, I could download Kirby.
I now want to see if you could have a kappa and then, get a cucumber and just throw the cucumber at it and see if it would chase it. I'm curious. Inquiry minds want to know!
I like creating nice Cthulhu in order to kill things for me when I need to fight something.
Wait, you can just make nice Cthulhu?
Yep, and he'll fight for me instead of against me.
I suppose he's using a tank too.
Either end of this month or next month, I think, Scribblenauts DC Heroes comes out, and you'll actually be able to create the DC Heroes in Scribblenauts. I'm actually kind of looking forward. I think that might look fun. That might be kind of fun.
The thing is that someone out there is going to use Batman to solve all of their problems.
There'll be some problems that Batman can't solve. Not very many, but there has to be at least one.
Batman cook!
I don't think Batman could defeat Atrocitus by himself, which is the leader of the, Red Core of Power Green users.
Okay.
Pure hate.
Yeah.
So I don't think he can defeat them, and he might not be able to defeat, he always still needed the Superman's help against Lex Luthor.
Maybe he just feels bad because Lex Luthor is Superman's arch nemesis, and he's like, I can't just do it. He's your arch nemesis.
I wonder I wonder if Bruce Wayne could take down Lex Luthor monetarily.
Hostile takeover of West Core or whatever?
Exactly.
I doubt it.
Talk about the most passive-aggressive way to take down a supervillain ever. I put you out of business.
I've just been playing lots of Fire Emblem Awakening. I have 34 hours logged, which is a lot for me right now. But mostly I've just been raising levels.
Yeah, there's a degree to which the game is kind of like Final Fantasy Tactics Advanced, where it's just...
Well, I've reached the point where once in a while when I get into fights, your team ranges anywhere from 8 to 12 characters. Well, I have a certain
core...
You kind
of have a core base.
I got a core group of about 10, 11. I'm missing a 12th, and I'm all like... I got to level some people, and I've been trying to do some of the paralogs. There's the main quest line that you're going through, but then there is side quest line. Side quest line is where you get some other characters to add to your team, but the other characters you get are your children from the future. And I found one that... The game has time travel.
And it has people getting so good at being, battle, friends that they get married.
Yeah. Basically, you have... Your units can support each other. And when they support each other, they gain relationship points with each other. Well, male and female characters... Not all male and female characters. Some of them Certain ones can basically get up to S-class. If they get up to S-class, they will marry each other. And then later in the game, their future children will pop up and you have to go and find them. You can recruit them into your team. So you can have your current guys who are married plus their children.
I think that might be kind of odd to be on one side. It's like, okay, so the kid that I haven't had yet is going to help me. And from a kid's aspect, you never like to think about what your parents are doing, but you know they have to eventually do that in order for you to be there.
And that they haven't necessarily done it yet.
Yeah, because I haven't married all of my characters off, because I'm still kind of thinking, like, who do we want to put together? Because you can min-max it. You can definitely take, like, some people and sort of purposely keep them apart and raise their levels so they get sort of ridiculous, then put them together so they can start getting classes, and then you can get, like, because the kids basically pick up two abilities from their parents. So if
you have them ridiculously high with the good abilities, there's a good chance the kid will get the ridiculously good ability right with the front, right from the go when you pick them up.
Yeah. And at least some of them depends on, like, your avatar, whoever ends up marrying your avatar, your kid picks up the married, your spouse's class. So I just happened to marry Virian sort of through accident because he was really good because my tactician uses swords and he uses bows. And so I just kept sticking him behind my character and it's like, they kept just double whamming everything. I'm like, oh, this is great. And yeah, I was barely like till chapter 6 that I was already married because I just kept putting them together.
Well, explain the funnier part, which is that Virian is the ladies' man.
Yes, he's the womanizer. So you can still get up to, I think, level A support with all the other characters, even if you're married. So he flirts with all the other female characters whenever I start, like, putting him in his support with other characters. I'm like, yep, I had to marry the womanizer, apparently, in this one.
That sounds actually pretty typical Japanese, to be perfectly honest.
Then you got the opposite in Long Q, who is like,
I will never be married. I am a stolid.
No, he is literally physically ill when he's next to women. But I made him marry Tharja, who is the dark mage who likes to hex and curse everybody. So I have an assassin and dark mage together.
So the assassin that can't stand women is married to the sadistic, sadistic black mage.
Well, she's not really sadistic. She's just creepy. She's just creepy and weird. But then I have, like, Sally and Stahl, who are, like, the two, they're your cavalier units when you first start out. And you just stick them together because they're both horse riders. They move together. And they just work really well together.
It's just kind of how it works.
Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out other combinations right now. I'm getting all the kids together now. See, the kids can't fall in love with their parents, which is good. I'm glad that there is.
No, you mean they can't be their own grandfather?
I do not want to pull a Fry in Futurama, which is good. But they can, you know, form bonds amongst themselves. So,
okay. So, here's what could potentially happen. The kid comes back in time, falls in love with one of the other kids, has a baby, then goes forward in time, but then mom and dad have to watch their grandchild before their own kid is born.
So they've got to send that baby back.
The baby has to go to the future.
I'm just saying, it could happen.
Yeah. Well, in the future, too, most all the main characters are dead, it seems like, and all the kids are alive, so that's why they're all coming back to the past, is to help change the way the future is going to end up being. But I'm like, will they still be born? All I know is one character should be born because she's already born before, you know, she comes back. Well, she comes back and then she's born. It's weird.
It would make sense that she's born before she comes back because if she's not born and then she comes back, then you got some real weird stuff going on.
You could cross the time streams right now because she actually is a child. She's like an infant toddler, but she's also back too. So her current self is at the palace while her...
Is no one worried about them like touching each other and exploding?
That was the whole problem. Space-time continuum. Yeah, see, that was the whole problem with Doctor Who, and Rose, you know, is back there with her past, you know, baby self. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe in this time travel universe, that's not an issue.
They haven't met at all. We haven't been there. I'm on another continent somewhere, so. Yeah. But I've been having lots of fun with it. I'm just. Grimy.
I hope so. You've just been.
Care Bear keeps telling me I need to buy it for her. She's like, you should go buy me that. You should go buy me that. I haven't been to a GameStop or a Best Buy to buy it for her.
You could just download it.
Well, I like getting the cartridges since we both have our own DSs.
They could share then.
Yeah.
That's why I have Animal Crossing New Leaf on a cartridge, which I don't get it. I just don't. It's not my kind of game, but it's like, I went to this anime store on Saturday and they're both playing it like, oh, we gotta go get our new emotion or whatever it was from somebody. It's like, whatever. Whatever.
It's a collecting game, basically.
Yeah, it's basically, it's like, events in it happen at the same time in real life all the time. So literally, like, a fishing contest usually is always on Sunday at noon. So if you're not on your Game Boy Sunday at noon, you're going to miss it.
That's when you go and edit your day and time settings.
And then reset, he yells at you. He yells at you even for doing that.
Oh, did he notice that in the older DS one? I thought that he did, that they didn't.
I for one, did. I switched it to make the seasons correspond to New Zealand, so I kind of changed the time to make it winter when it was winter, even though it was summer here, sort of thing. And yeah, Mr. Resetti comes and yells at you for changing the settings on your Game Boy. He yells at you already if you, like, shut off without saving and go back. Because he's like, you can't reset real life. You gotta live with your decisions, man, sort of thing. Or if you erase your game and start over, he yells at you for that, too. I just choose to ignore him.
Yeah, see,
I don't like being chastised by my games.
See, I had the Animal Crossing for the DS, and I played it for a while, and then I stopped caring. It builds up, and you're like, I don't want to go back because it's going to be full of weeds.
And all my people are going to be gone. It's going to be like some sort of tolerant rule from Tom Nook because you owe him 50 million bells plus interest. And yeah. I guess it's a lot like micromanaging your life if it was simpler in a way. At least I have to give kudos for the new one making you mayor. Because in all the other ones, you're just a normal person, and there's another mayor is usually this giant old turtle who's, like, super old. Super, super old.
All politicians are old.
Yeah,
but that's half the problem.
Yeah, so he...
But let's not get into that.
Yeah. So you can, like, you know, sort of decide how the town gets built and what to do and that sort of stuff. So that's, you know, at least something more interesting. But if you like to collect and make things... It's a great game for that, especially because you can share with other people. I've seen lots of things. I follow Tiny Cartridge on Tumblr, who posts a lot of Tiny People. You can get, like, the Sailor Fuku from Sailor Moon. Like, all the characters have Sailor Fuku. You can get Canada's Jacket from Akira, and, you know, people do that. They actually sit down and map out the stuff to put on characters for their clothing.
Okay, because I've actually changed it now so that there's... The clothing is actually kind of a separate sort of model on top of the character model, whereas before it was just like patterns,
yeah,
essentially that went on to your character.
Yeah, because the girls you can only wear dresses, and boys can only wear shirts and shorts basically. But now they're interchangeable, so a guy can wear a dress if he wants to, and the girl characters can wear shirts.
It was really largely just a limitation of their programming. I mean, it was literally just like a color swatch that you could put.
Yeah, it was just basically the model was built one piece.
You know, that means they'll actually have kilts.
Yeah.
As long as someone wants to try and program plaid into...
Hey, that part's I actually did play a little bit with coloring the stuff. It's grid-based.
Yeah.
So you just, you know, it's plaid. Line, 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 line.
Well, it has to be like, you know, thick line, thin line, thin line, thin
line. It's still line, 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 line. Yeah. It's not like you even have to curve it to make it look like a smooth curve. You just got to do a straight line.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can see how some people don't want to do it because they're like, why do I want to play my life in a game when I have real life stuff to deal with?
Yeah.
Because you can, like, personify and rage at Tom Nook and, you know, as opposed to Nelnet.
I'm only
I'll get that raccoon!
No, it's more raging against Bank of America since they hold our mortgage.
Yeah. PNC.
But anyways, later today, we're going to try out Super Dungeon Explorer.
Which is Super Dungeon Explorer.
Yeah.
Basically, it is I'm going to call it a modular model-based board game with cards. Basically, what it is it came with a bunch of models that I had to glue together, one of which I have to buy green stuff in order to get it fixed properly.
Oh, jeez.
When I got it, it was snapped right at the base.
Yeah.
And I've tried to glue it together twice. It hasn't worked. So let's see. Each model has its own corresponding card to say what it can do. Then there's loot cards and treasure cards, which can augment the heroes. And then, basically, there's a player that's the console who is trying to kill all the heroes. And it's supposed to be played between... I think two to six people, with one person being the console and everybody else being heroes.
Mm-hmm. So you guys last night tried it with eight.
It was too much. I think that actually was what caused the game to go so much longer than it was supposed to have. And plus, then they're all, like, trying to, you know, super strategize everything. I'm like, just choose who's freaking going! God's sake, guys!
See, this is when you institute the egg timer rule.
Yeah, and you just say, okay, we're going around clockwise or whatever.
Well, it's like, I understand them wanting to change who does what, because they actually had some good strategies. Like, the mage was too far away to be useful, so the rogue used a potion in order to teleport the mage to where they needed. Then the sorceress used her potion to let the mage fly, flew over a bunch of enemies directly into the center of them, did a wave one and ended up killing everybody around her, which was like 8 guys. Then she flew out of you know, reach of the other guys that were around her.
That's insane.
So, I mean, I understand why they do things out of order, because then the next time the mage went last instead of first, because it made no sense to have her go first anymore. Mm-hmm. I just wish they would have done their strategizing a little faster.
Yeah.
But it's a fun game. I just have the base pack right now, which only has one boss and 2 mini bosses, which are actually both the same creature.
Just 2 of the same. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to... I'm actually looking to probably buy one of the expansions in a month or so. That way I can do, you know... We can change up the games a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, basically we're playing today because we got 2 people missing from our D&D group. So this seemed, you know... One thing, it's new. It'll be, you know...
It's like playing D&D!
Yeah,
it is.
With slightly less plot than usual.
So yeah, we'll let you know how that actually turns out. I think that's all we got. So we will go ahead and see you all in theory next week. You can find us on Facebook at The Game Slave, Twitter at The Game Slave, Google Plus, The Game Slave. You're probably noticing the pattern. Or you can also send us mail, comments, questions, whatever, to mail@thegameslave.com. In the meantime, y'all have a great week and game on.
Game on.
Game on.